We really do have a shadow government. We'll talk about it.
And today I was looking at it before I came out here. People screaming on TikTok. People screaming on their devices. People crying, cussing, screaming, cursing the shooter, the assassin, for having missed, raging.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant. Today, Jan visits with Michelle Bachmann for the hour. The world was stunned to see more lawlessness recently when there was an attempt to take the life of a former president. What are the deeper implications of this, and where might it be leading? Here is today's uninterrupted programming.
Glad you can join me in today's programming. And by the way, we have an Understanding the Times night coming up Thursday, August the 1st, in suburban Minneapolis. Pastor Mark Henry and I have co-hosted these events now for 3 years. Our guest will be Michelle Bachmann, and I know she's one of your favorites when I feature on air or in person. She's going to join me. She served Minnesota's 6th District from 2007 to 2015 in the U.S. House. She ran for President of the United States in 2012. Currently, she is Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. I'm going to get to Michelle in just a moment, but we went deeper into perilous times back on Saturday, July 13th, with an assassination attempt of former President Trump. And I have been saying that the spirit of the Antichrist is being poured out on the earth in a more intense way, and America is not exempt. And the left has a terribly dark heart driven by the God of this world. And they're driving the out-of-control spirit of Antichrist, same spirit that invaded the Israeli kibbutzim back on October the 7th last year. It's merciless. Governor Mike Huckabee, moments after the assassination attempt, stated that at the root of most issues in America is a spiritual issue. And I think he understands this Antichrist spirit. And I have said to several people that all the left has to launch yet and their progressive non-paradise is violence, and they will do anything. Joe Biden unashamedly stated that it's time to put Trump in the bullseye, and maybe he didn't mean that literally, but unstable people don't stop to consider the nuances of a statement by a sitting president they may admire. Now, going to play a very quick collage of what the left is saying about former President Trump. I hope you take this very seriously. Some of you have heard this on talk radio and other places.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
They're
That, my friends, is today's radicalized left. So what do you expect? After several years, we're called deplorables. Endless rhetoric portrays Christians and conservatives as fascists from the 1930s. Pro-lifers are mocked and vilified as dangerous. The liberal media suggests that such people will be the end of democracy. And when the New Republic magazine has a cover artwork showing Donald Trump as Hitler. Michelle Bachmann, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you so much. This is a perilous time, isn't it?
Amen. I'm the one who reached out to you back on Saturday, July the 13th. Your thoughts when you learned what had happened?
Like everyone else, absolute shock. We couldn't believe it. We were here in Minnesota watching a play about C.S. Lewis. You had sent me the message and I looked to see if he was hurt. And then I pulled up Fox News and I watched the loop that everyone watched to see those 30 seconds of that peril. And to actually see that he had survived. And then to find out that, but for the hand of God, causing Donald Trump just to move his head slightly to the right in a fraction of a second, he would have been dead. There's no question. And this was meant as a kill shot. We need to know and understand this, because now we've had a little time to think this through and maybe take this lightly, that he survived. Let's go on with our lives. This was an attempted assassination of the nominee for the presidency of the United States, a former president. This didn't come out of nowhere. This has been building and escalating to the point where people are so consumed with ensuring that they get to continue their godless goals for the United States. And some of those goals are to collapse the United States so we're no longer a superpower. They're so dedicated to that that they have to make sure that the one man who would stop that, Donald Trump, doesn't have the chance to live and go before the voters. This is really the most extreme example you could have of those who truly hate our form of government, which is we get to decide who our leaders are. We get to decide the laws that we live under. We live in a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy, but the people who are coming from a very different point of view believe that we shouldn't have our choice. They believe that they have their choice. Their choice must be forced on us, even if it means killing our choice of nominee. Remember, Donald Trump is the choice. I'm a Republican. He's our choice for the nominee. And there are people who are so committed to their culture of death that they are willing to kill our nominee so that our position on issues doesn't prevail. That's how extreme we are now.
You are no stranger to the Secret Service. When you ran for president in 2012,
That's right.
Obviously had Secret Service protection, and you brought George W. Bush to Minnesota, and I don't want to go into details there, but you told me they simply don't miss a lot of details. Well, obviously they did on July the 13th. What is your comment on that?
I had the good fortune of being with President George W. Bush in the presidential vehicle. He came into Minnesota to do a fundraiser for me, and there was a tremendous amount of advance work that was done by the Secret Service. The line that I remember was line of sight.
Line of sight.
Line of sight. Everything was about line of sight. I would get out on a certain side of the vehicle, but not the president. The president got out where there'd be a tent erected so that there would be no line of sight. There were snipers stationed in the trees. They were wearing waiter's costumes. They were in boats.
They were in the water.
In the water. They were overhead in helicopters. Every exit was blocked off. There were guns everywhere. There was law enforcement everywhere. And then when you look at this, it makes you flummoxed to see where Donald Trump was standing. And the first available building to stand on to have line of sight to kill the president was exactly where
That's
the shooter
right.
was. It's impossible to believe that the Secret Service wouldn't have had that covered. The most obvious point. And he came in with a vehicle filled with explosives, had an AR-15 rifle. I'm a short woman. An AR-15 rifle comes up to the middle of my back. How could you walk into an area that's in a perimeter? Again, he was only 130 yards away from Donald Trump. How could he walk in holding an AR-15 rifle, having a ladder get on top of this building, so much so that people saw him
saw
all
it.
Over the campus?
They were warning and warning.
And we know now that the law enforcement, Secret Service, had warning. They even have a photo, two photos of this guy, more than a half hour ahead of time. And nothing happened. What this says is that the cover has been pulled back.
Thank you.
Because when I was with George W. Bush, when I was with Dick Cheney, when I was with the Speaker of the House and with the First Lady of the United States, in all of those high-profile situations, there was no risk taken. This is impossible to believe now that those who are tasked with securing the safety of Donald Trump didn't do so.
I want to give a shout out to a lot of Secret Service agents because they risk their life on a daily basis. However, the agency is now very, very woke. And the goal, according to Kimberly Cheadle, the head of Secret Service, is, again, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. One third are to be women. Okay, we saw a couple of women partake in this debacle back on July 13th. Michelle, they're your size and my size. They're 5'4 and 130 pounds, and I'm probably stretching it there. And yet they are protecting a 280-pound man who's about 6'2" or 6'3". To me, that was the height of delusion. That was leftist lunacy in action.
It was. And we don't denigrate those women individually.
Absolutely not.
They were there doing their very best, jumping into the fray as quickly as they could. But this was the most perfect example that male, female is different and size matters. And President Trump was not protected. He was not covered. The darling little blonde girl who was there left a huge gap. Again, not her fault. It's her size. And I had mentioned to you, I wouldn't have wanted to be protected by women. I would have wanted to have big Army Ranger, Navy SEAL type Secret Service guys protecting me. Because a man has strength and a man has different attributes that a woman doesn't have. This was intentional actions by the Secret Service, by the Biden administration, to have a far lessened level of Secret Service protection for Donald Trump. And the action is why. And so now again, the cover has been rolled back and it's time for us to ask questions. What's happened in America? You should provide the same level of Secret Service protection for someone, whether they're on your political side or the other political side. And in fact, the Biden administration said no time after time to Bobby Kennedy Jr. Yes. for his Secret Service coming from a family where his uncle was killed, his father was killed running for the presidency. And so it wasn't until Donald Trump demanded after his own assassination attempt of the Biden administration, you have to provide protection for Bobby Kennedy, that finally the Biden administration did the right thing. And we know that James Clyburn, the member of Congress, introduced legislation to strip the Secret Service protection that Donald Trump has from him.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, I have in studio the familiar voice of Michelle Bachmann. She served Minnesota's 6th District in U.S. Congress 2007 to 2015. She will be our guest Thursday, August the 1st, 7 p.m. Central, here in the Twin Cities area, but you can live stream it at no cost, markhenryministries.com, markhenryministries.com, again, 7 p.m. Central. That's Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, no charge, first come, first serve. Just a reminder that we always post this programming to our website, olivetreeviews.org, and then to video, olivetreeviews.org, and then to video on our Rumble channel and on our YouTube channel, assuming the latter doesn't take us down. So, Michelle, about a week ago, we had, I would say, a political earthquake, not totally unexpected. Joe Biden dropped out of the 2024 race for the White House. Democrat Party really had no choice but to push Joe Biden out of the White House as funds were drying up quickly, and he passed the torch to Vice President Harris, while at the same time planning on, I'm sure, election shenanigans in the fall. Worked for them in the past, so the stage is being set for very evil people to collapse the country when we could be handed over to some kind of global authority, and the globalists are salivating on the sidelines watching this. Talk to us about this turn of events here in the last week.
It is quite stunning. At one hand, as you said, Jan, this was expected. Still, this is a massive shaking that's happening politically in the United States. And here we have Joe Biden not dropping out. He was pushed out. Absolutely no question. Within an hour or so before the bombshell came that Biden was out, they were already announcing campaign events. So Joe Biden had his heels dug in. He wasn't leaving. So this document, whether he signed it or not, said that he was going out of the race. He's out. We have to presume that he gave consent to it. But it adds to this fake nature of this election. Just go back in history. This was a fake primary that the Democrats held. They didn't have a real primary. They didn't even hold primaries in some of the states. Even though Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was trying to run in the Democrat primary, he really wasn't allowed to. So it was a fake primary. Then we have what I would consider a fake dropping out. Joe Biden had no intention of dropping out. He didn't want to drop out. He was forced into it. Then we had a fake Democrat nomination. So there is no nomination of Kamala Harris. Joe Biden, in his second press release, said that he was endorsing Kamala Harris. But it isn't a real nomination. It's his endorsement on paper. Again, we don't see him saying it. So it was a fake primary, a fake Democratic dropping out of Joe Biden, a fake Democrat nomination process. And now all we have are all of the endorsements that are coming from all the typical people, beginning with Joe Biden, then with the Clintons, and then the big money power, who's Alex Soros, and then the whole squad, and then all 50 state party chairs, one after another, they're coming on board to endorse Kamala Harris. What this means is there is no true open Democratic process for the Democrats in their convention, when their convention is held. This is a top-down process, which has been from the very beginning. It's a predetermined political event because Joe Biden was a political puppet. There were strings that were being pulled on Joe Biden. He wasn't making the determinations of what to do in the White House. And so now we're looking at the same thing. And it appears the powers that be have chosen Kamala Harris. She too would be a political puppet. So all these press releases that have been coming out all week announcing their endorsement of Kamala Harris, that's actually the Democrat convention, these press releases, because they need these big donors to write checks, because for the Democrats, it was the worst of all worlds. Their big donors stopped writing checks. It's the money, the money. And so they had to open up the money, and they couldn't ignore Kamala Harris. So they had to go forward with her. By the time the convention comes, it will be a long foregone conclusion. They have a full month of everybody saying they're behind Kamala Harris. Before one delegate has voted, it's going to be predetermined. Then they can get on with the real business. They want to show 100% unity like the Republicans did, because the Republicans had their best convention ever. They had 100% unity behind the Trump-Vance ticket. Very strong view, and a lot of people were coming behind the Trump-Vance ticket. So they want to put forward this unity, which is totally understandable. But it's not by a Democratic process. It's by all the political power players who are saying, it's Harris, it's Harris. They'll get to the convention. And what they really want to do is have a three-night rock concert. Yeah. Taylor Swift and Beyonce and all the different rock artists. And so they want to entertain the people. So there's no open convention. It's all a fake. It's all predetermined. And the reason why they have to have Joe Biden in office through the inauguration is because when we're looking at the 2024 election, the same people are going to be playing it. And they want to make sure that the same people are in the White House so that those agencies of the federal government who were allegedly involved in determining the outcome of the 2020 election are still allegedly involved in the outcome of the 2024 election. Dan, the goal is to have another puppet win the White House who can be controlled by the people who want America to collapse as a superpower, because they want to make way for the end times one world government. And here's the other thing that your audience needs to be forewarned about. As artificial intelligence is used throughout the fall, but especially in October, when people see video and audio that looks like Donald Trump and J.D. Vance saying things that would turn off any voter, don't be deceived. because we're only about to see artificial intelligence used, and it's deception and it's delusion, and we need to make sure we don't fall for it.
Well, that leads me to this question. Do we have a shadow government? We hear much about Barack Obama and cronies, still very influential in Washington. And I'm beginning to think that there are elements like that that truly are running the country.
We've been told not to believe our lying eyes for the entire Biden administration. Now I think what the attempted assassination on Donald Trump proved is the cover was rolled back. What we're seeing is we thought there was a shadow government. In all likelihood, it's more than a reasonable doubt that we're living under a shadow government, not run by the current president or the administration, but run by outsiders. Who are they? Most likely an influence from Barack Obama. No one knows the name of the chief of staff to the president of the United States. Isn't that interesting? His name is Ron Klain. He had worked for Barack Obama. So in all likelihood, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the perfect president and vice president because they're not consulted. In all likelihood, they're not making the decisions. The decisions are coming from those who have a goal, and their goal is from the UN, the sustainability goals of 2030, and also the World Economic Forum.
Yep.
And it's the totalitarians. That's what communists are. They want government to make decisions over our lives. And eventually, as the Bible says, one government led by the Antichrist with 10 regions, 10 leaders, that's what the World Economic Forum wants to get to. That's what the UN wants to get to. And the Biden administration, we're seeing with the cover being pulled back, they let these people, it appears, have their way. And that's why we're seeing economic collapse in the United States. The United States is failing. We're not growing. When Donald Trump was in office, he wanted to make America great again. He wanted individuals to be able to make decisions over their lives, how they live, their businesses, churches, schools. It's just the opposite under Joe Biden. Now it isn't even what we want. It's what global institutions want, like the World Health Organization, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum. All of the cues are coming from these globalists that nobody votes for.
That's right.
That's not what the American people want, but that's what we're getting. And what they do is they confuse people's minds, because the mantra from the Biden administration has been that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, that we won't have democracy if he comes in. Well, number one, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. But it's just the opposite. The people who are ruling us right now with the current administration, they hate our choices. They hate it so much that the FBI recently had a program for FBI agents and said that white Christian men and Christians were listed on the terror list. So who are the terrorists, according to the FBI, under the Biden administration? Us. So now we're moving into not just political violence, we're moving into violence by government and violence by those who want to ensure that this current regime stays in power. They hate our choices. They will do anything they can, legally or illegally, to separate us from our choice for what we want in our nation.
One thing that can make a huge difference, obviously, is if my listening audience would pray, pray, pray. You have a structured program coming up, and we'll say a little bit more at the end of the hour as well. But let's give it a promotion right now, because it's coming up starting in September, and give the date and how to get a hold of you to be put on the list to be a part of 40 Days of Prayer and Fasting.
Yes, I invite everyone to sign up. If you already were a part of our 40 Days of Prayer and Fasting, you don't have to sign up again. But if you haven't been, email pray@regent.edu, and we will sign you up. It begins September 3rd, and it goes every day through October 12th. And that is Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, the Day of Atonement. So we set aside those 40 days, and we pray and fast. We look at ourselves and we repent. It's all about repentance. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do individually and as a nation. So we will be jointly praying every day together, 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, 9 o'clock Central time, for about a half hour. And we'll have a lesson. We will have worship. And then we will pray. And it'll be open so anyone can pray. We'll be praying for salvation for our loved ones. We pray for ourselves, for our families, for our churches, and for our communities. We pray for Israel. We pray for our nation and all that's happening in our nation this upcoming election. But we have 40 days that we set aside to do this. We began with 20 people 4 years ago. Last year, we had over 3,000 people from all over the world. So I invite everyone, please join us. This is the most powerful thing that we can do. If you need a miracle in your life, cry out to God. We have seen miracles from this 40 days of prayer and fasting. Email pray@regent.edu, pray@regent.edu, and sign up. Then we'll start emailing you and telling you when to come, and we'll give you the link. And then you join us every day for the prayer and fasting. And then we also post it every day at the end of the day so you can go and watch it in case you miss it.
Michelle is our guest, Understanding the Times, on Thursday, August the 1st, 7 p.m. Central Time. No charge. First come, first serve. We have plenty of seating. Revive Church, 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Live stream it, no cost, markhenryministries.com. We're going to have 2 hours that night to talk about the issues we're discussing today. Just a reminder that we always post this programming to our website, olivetreeviews.org, and then to video, olivetreeviews.org, and then to video on our Rumble channel and on our YouTube channel, assuming the latter doesn't take us down. Michelle, I have in front of me the clipping here from the New Republic magazine, and the cover of it, again, it's got President Trump looking like Hitler. It's just shameful, folks, just shameful. And the New Republic states, we chose the cover image based on a 1932 Hitler campaign. Anyone transported back to 1932 Germany could very easily have explained away Mr. Hitler's excesses. Goes on to say, but he and his people vowed all along that they would use the tools of democracy. And then the magazine states, today we at New Republic think we can spend this election year in one of two ways. One, we can spend it debating whether Donald Trump meets the 9 of 17 points that define fascism, or two, we can spend it saying he's darn close, we'd better fight. So again, this type of sentiment, Michelle, is being poured out through the media. Every one of my listeners is probably hearing it. If they're particularly tuned to ABC, CBS, CNN, anything like that, they're going to hear it all day long. If they're reading New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, all of these publications are reinforcing the fact and the image that, say you dummy folks, don't you see the similarity between Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler? I never thought I'd see this day quite as blunt and dramatic as we're seeing. Michelle, your thoughts?
The only way that they think this could work is the sea of ignorance that we have in the United States, because public schools stop teaching history. They stop teaching economics. So people don't even know what fascism is. And the definition of fascism is government controlling private industry. So private corporations have to do what government says. That's exactly what the Biden administration has been doing. One example would be with this so-called fake green energy, where they are telling us what energy sources we have to have here in Minnesota, telling us in the coldest state in the union that we can't use coal, natural gas. We can't use the normal energy that's freely available to us and low cost. No, we have to get rid of all that. We're only allowed to use solar and wind, which is far more expensive. It doesn't work, and it's not reliable. So the fascists are the people currently in power, the Biden administration, and here in Minnesota, the Democrat administration. I'm not trying to be partisan. I'm just stating the objective fact that they are accusing Donald Trump, and whether you like Donald Trump or not, they're lying about who he is and what his positions are. We had 4 years of Donald Trump where he was getting rid of government regulations and trying to free up people so we could make our own decisions in our life. And just the opposite is happening under the Biden administration. They want government to make every decision, and then we're forced to do what government says. But they want to make him so unpalatable that nobody will vote for him.
Yeah.
And so they're lying because people are ignorant. They don't know anything about Hitler other than he was a bad guy. They don't know anything about what happened in the 1930s. So this is complete lies. Even after the assassination attempt on the president, we saw the media, they took about a half day off, and then they came out, and again, they blamed Donald Trump for his own assassination, saying that he's responsible for the political violence. You might not like what he says, but he's not calling for anybody to be shot, like Bette Midler or Madonna, who's calling for the White House to be blown up when President Trump was the president. The actual calls for violence and the actual violence is coming at the hands of Democrats. People need to wake up. Steve Scalise was shot by a Democrat who watched the Democrat TV shows and who read the website on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yeah. And so he went to shoot specifically Republicans, and he wanted to shoot a lot more than what he shot. This is real. These are people who are mentally deranged by the nonstop barrage of lies that Donald Trump or Republicans are fascists, they're racist. None of that's true.
Mark Tapson writes on Front Page Magazine, "This is not the America of Ronald Reagan's time, which largely came together in the wake of the attempt on his life in 1981. The author says, "As I wrote recently, we now occupy an America irrevocably divided between MAGA patriots who love the country and a political opposition who wants us literally dead and gone." And then Tapson says, "Saturday's assassination attempt is simply further confirmation that we are already engaged in a hot civil war." He says, "This is the America we have now, divided between Americans who found the near murder of a presidential candidate profoundly disturbing and Americans who are disappointed the shooter didn't blow Donald's head open." So we may be heading into a hot civil war. And question I'll throw out to you, Michelle, and we don't know this, and we don't know God's timing as it concerns the last days and obviously the soon coming rapture of the church. I don't know if we have time to make America great again. I think Jesus is coming any day. And I think that if God allows us more time, then we're going to take advantage of more time because more souls need to come into the kingdom yet.
And that's up to the Lord's timing. But the moment that we're in is one of high contrast between the two different viewpoints.
Yes.
There is a whole group of people that wants to see not only Donald Trump physically dead, but they want to see people like us.
They want us
Christians.
Gone. That's right.
Physically dead. And people are coming into the country, not all Muslims, but there's a sect of radical jihadist Muslims who, again, see that they will conquer the United States. Yeah. Listen to the rantings coming out of Dearborn, Michigan, here in Minnesota, other places where when a critical mass comes together, then they literally believe they're going to take over the country. We are at an existential crisis in America. What does that mean? That word existential, it means, are we going to exist? And I think if we go down this road of the Biden administration, it is a culture of death that they've embraced. It appears to me this is a conscious decision to let someone else run the country into bankruptcy and oblivion and collapse. And this is intentional. I think the cover has been pulled back. We can see that now. And it's coming within our government at the highest levels. People who run agencies like the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ. And so we have this opportunity coming up in November. And because less than 15% of the people really pay attention to politics, all they know is Donald Trump bad. That's all they know. My grandson said to me, "Well, a kid at school told me that Donald Trump tried to shut down the government." I told him that's not true. And so this is when we need to be truth tellers. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so again, we have to be about truth in this moment. It isn't about the person of Donald Trump. It isn't the person of the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. It's what do we know from the Bible about how we are to live and how society is to function? We know from a biblical level, we need to make our choices based on what is the most biblical and what isn't. We've never had a higher compare and contrast in front of us right now with this choice. And this is the other thing we know. People question the results of the 2020 election. If it was rigged, I'm fully persuaded that it was. And there's nothing that's changed those people that rigged the election in 2020 to not rig it again. Already, Mark Elias, the lawyer for Hillary Clinton, they've already filed lawsuits. If they can't win it at the ballot box, they want to win it in the courtroom. So this is fully in place. And that's why I'm the dean of the Graduate School of Government at Regent University. And I come to a point of despair when I look what's happening in this world. But I can't despair as a believer in Jesus Christ, because I know what God calls every nation at every time in history. He calls us to personally repent and then repent on behalf of our nation. Surely I need to repent. Surely I need to repent as a proxy on behalf of my nation. That's what we're going to do starting on September 3rd. And I invite every person listening to join us. It is the most powerful action any of you can take, prayer. And we do this because we come together to pray. It isn't something we have good intentions to do. We actually do. And so email me at pray@regent.edu. pray@regent.edu. We will begin praying September 3rd through October 12th. And we will be praying and asking the Lord on behalf of our nation to intervene.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell. Obviously having the studio, familiar voice of Michelle Bachman. Michelle serves as Dean of the Robertson School of Government. She will be joining us Thursday evening, August the 1st. You can watch that entire two-hour program online at markhenryministries.com. Coming out in person, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time. Go to my website for events and you can get all the details there. Michelle, you made a statement to me, and I think we need to unpack it. We were talking about the situation, frankly, in the world, but I think we were maybe focusing a little bit on America. And you said to me that they've already pushed the button. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to unpack that a little bit. And I think in the context of our discussion, and we were referring in that discussion, the Red-Green Alliance. Folks, yes. I need to explain to you the Red-Green Alliance. You've heard me on this program. You've heard Trevor Loudon and others talk about the Red-Green Alliance. And that is the alliance between communism and Islam. They are uniting around the world, and it's for totalitarian purposes. But what did you mean when you said they've already pushed the button?
There is a goal, and the goal we know from Scripture. So think of a compass, and you have a needle on a compass that shows you which direction you're going. That's what the Bible is. So the Bible shows us what the ultimate goal of the Antichrist is, but what the ultimate victory that is coming through the Lord, through Jesus Christ, is. So then we use what is happening in our day. What are we seeing? How does that compare with the prophets, with what the Scripture says? And so I think that's why all of us, red flags are going off right now. Light bulbs are going off because all of the events on earth are lining up exactly with this needle on the compass. So from my research, when I was in the United States Congress, I served on the Intelligence Committee. We dealt with the classified secrets of the United States, particularly regarding terrorism. And in the Muslim world, there's a concept known as go time. It's a moment when they decide this is it. They are seeking world domination. And I think after October 7th, we are seeing the outworking of global jihad. It comes in phases, but we're seeing it up at a level of activity that we have never seen before. We see it here in Minnesota. We see it at Columbia, at Harvard. We see it all over the United States, but it's all over Europe. It's all over the West. It's the nations that they seek to conquer. But then also the red is the communists.
Yeah.
The communists have virtually taken over the public schools. Well, what do you mean, Michelle? I don't see Leninists running around. Look at the curriculum. Look at what the students are being taught. Since 1993, our textbooks have been dramatically changed. All the testing has changed. That is 30 years ago. A child born in 1993, they're 30 now. They've gone through this indoctrination that is at minimum socialist-based, leaning toward communist-based. So why is it that we have rank ignorance and a kid can't find South Dakota on a map? Because they haven't been taught knowledge, facts. They've been taught attitudes, values, and beliefs that line up with communism, that line up with socialism. And so go time means we're putting into effect communism. We're putting into effect our plan for Islamic conquering. And the communism takeover is known by the United Nations through the 2030 agenda.
That's right.
And it's also known through what's happening at the World Health Organization.
That's right. Michelle, I just want to play a real short soundbite. It's Pastor Jack Hibbs, your good friend and my good friend. And on Sunday, July 14th, he gave such a compelling message. And I know he sent it to you and I watched it online as well. And he sums things up. Very appropriately, folks. You can find that on YouTube, probably find it on the website of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. I've had Jack here to the Twin Cities, I believe, on five occasions. He's a frequent radio guest. He's such a good friend of ours, and he so loves the country. He loves Israel.
And we pray, Lord, for ourselves as a people. Almighty God, we pray right now that unless you watch the gate, the watchman watches it in vain. God, our nation has been torn open. Our borders have been destroyed. Our economy is imploding. Our children are exposed to the violence of the streets. We are in debt. We have forsaken Almighty God. And we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would awaken the United States of America for no other reason but to bring you glory. God, wake us up to the reality. This nation has not won a war since World War II. And we live off of hype, showmanship, so much of it, perception. We have been hollowed out because you are no longer the epicenter of this nation. Lord, we invite you to come back to this country with mercy. Come back to this country, God. We plead, we ask upon you, and we plead upon you, Almighty God, to forgive us of our sins. Expose the pornographers. Expose, Lord, the drunkenness. Expose, Lord, the evil. Expose the aberrant sexuality. Expose the robbery. Expose, Lord, the idolatry. Expose the things that have ravaged this nation, all the while you have been targeting our ears all along and saying, church, will you hear me? Church, listen. And Father, I pray today that instead of President Trump raising his fist in victory, which I understand any political photo of that is, I mean, that is a poster, no doubt about it. That's a commercial clip, no doubt about it. I pray that you would just dissolve that thinking and that there would be the going to the knees. Father God, we pray now and we ask in Jesus' name for you to do a miracle in our midst. Start with California. If you're going to start with California, start with us. But dear God in heaven, may we not wave a flag all over the place without the Holy Spirit being pleased with our conduct. The only answer is going to come from God's house. And we pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Michelle Bachman, your thoughts?
Amen. What Jack has said is exactly the basis for why we do the 40 days of prayer and fasting, because this is where we need to be, on our knees. And we do this every day for 40 days where we gather together. I wanted to also underscore that when you talked about that they pushed the button, what they pushed the button for is the absolute end time scenario of global government.
Yes.
And so they've pushed it. They still think they're getting it through with the World Health Organization. And so there's various means and mechanisms that we'll see the process of bringing about global government. But I believe the button has been pushed by these people. They've already put in motion this last end time scenario of global government. They're advancing. And that's why this election is very important, because we're either going to go faster into global government or slower. And so maybe we'll have a reprieve. And what would the reprieve be for? That more would be saved.
Yes.
And that we would have a time of coming to repentance. That's what we'll be doing on the 40 days of prayer and fasting, looking at ourselves, saying, Lord, would you examine me? Like David cried out, search me, try me. If there's any wicked way within me, Lord, show it to me, because the time is short. Could we die? Yes. But the Lord could also come back. And we believe he's coming back anytime. And so we need to be right before the Lord in our own lives, in our own church, in our own household. And that's what Jack was calling each one of us to do. It's not a political victory march. It is on our knees crying out to God on behalf of the sin that we see around us. Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, make us whole. And I praise God for this message from Jack.
Much of the free world, very shaken by the images back on July the 13th. We could add one more scenario to the picture today. We could add the rapture of believers. And yes, suddenly there's a whopping lot of people in the left behind world. Now, they've had a double shaking. They've watched a potential assassination. And then, let's just say for discussion here, millions and millions of believers suddenly vanish. And that left behind world, I think they're going to be open to a lot of things that they may not have been open to while we were here. They're going to be open, I think, to salvation. And that's the point I want to make, is this end time period, which is what we're kind of emphasizing, yes, because these events are very characteristic of what happens in the last days, those perilous times. We need to take advantage of the days that we're living in. We need to take advantage of the fact that people are on edge right now. Yes. We've got an, yes, election season going full force right now. We don't know how it's going to turn out. God raises up kings and takes them down, according to Daniel 2. And I said to you, what if the rapture were to happen right after this experience here now in the coming days or weeks? And you had an interesting reaction, but again, not so far-fetched.
And that's why, again, there is no reason not to witness. And it's really just as natural as a conversation. So, yes, when people are talking, people are expressing fears. They're rejoicing that President Trump wasn't killed. Yeah. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. You never want to see something like that. But we are living in perilous times. And so rather than wringing our hands and being fearful because we know the end will come, we need to rejoice because our salvation draweth nigh. We are rejoicing because we are going to be removed from this earth. And whenever Jan says that to me, I say, this is great. This is a wonderful conclusion. But for those who are left behind, we want to leave as much of our lives, which is the only Bible some people will ever read.
Yes.
We want to leave our lives, what we've said. My granddaughter says to me lately, can we talk about hell? What does the Bible say? And I'm so grateful. So the first thing I'll say is, Bella, tell me, how do we get to heaven? What is the way? It isn't because of ourselves. It's because of Jesus who dies and pays for our sins. They're very simple conversations. And you may think, well, it's easier to talk to a child. It's easier to talk to anybody because we were lost in our sins too. And so the kindest thing we can do is tell the truth. That's why what I'm seeing currently politically, because my life is so much about politics, is this constant river of lies. And you're going to see that between now and the election. Close your ears to the lies and focus on truth. And you speak truth. And when someone wants to say a lie to you, you just say, that isn't true. And then you go to truth because people are fearful and you have the answer.
Michelle, as we speak, the World Health Organization has been meeting,
yes,
and they still intend to, let's put it this way, their hopes, wishes, and dreams would be that they, WHO, yes, Tedros Ghebreyesus, could be the leaders of the entire world,
yes,
the one world system with WHO at the top. I can't make this up, folks.
That's right. And what's being attempted right now is to turn the World Health Organization, which is the healthcare face of the United Nations, and what they want to do is turn them from an advisory-only body into a rulemaking enforcing body. Okay, well, what does that mean? What they want is to make a platform for global government, and they want to do it through the World Health Organization. So they're meeting this month, and they were meeting in May. They've been meeting for the last few years to try and get this done. And they may succeed in getting a framework done, but we reject it. Joe Biden has been pushing this. The Biden administration, they were the ones who actually introduced this idea of global government through the World Health Organization. Can you believe that? The president of, yeah, the United States giving up our sovereignty to the United Nations for global government? That's what the Biden administration has done. You think elections matter? Oh, my word. You've got a completely different outcome because President Trump has been completely against globalism because he doesn't want a global government. That's also what's at stake in this election. When we saw how God sent an angel to literally slightly turn in a fraction of a second President Trump's head so that he had just only a portion of his ear shot off rather than his brain shot, that was an intervention of the hand of God. And that's what Donald Trump wrote immediately afterward. He wrote on his site, fear not. He didn't fear because he said this was only God. He recognized it. And just like Ronald Reagan was a changed man after Hinckley shot him, he said, everything I have left, he recognized God saved him. He said, my whole life is now to be served for the Lord. And so we can pray that for Donald Trump.
Again, join us Thursday evening, August the 1st. You can live stream it at markhenryministries.com, 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll go 2 hours. We'll have a little Q&A with Michelle as well that night. Pastor Mark Henry serves as co-host of this event at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. No cost to attend, 7849 West Broadway. We have done these now for 3 years, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of people turn out at each event here in suburban Minneapolis. I'm running out of time, Michelle. Let me just quickly get your response to Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. Give me a paragraph or two on your reaction to his nomination.
I was happy when I heard his name because I knew from experience and also what I'd read that he'll be a tough guy and he will be in line with Donald Trump. He's not a moderate. My first question is, where is he at on Israel? And also, yes. Where is he at spiritually? He converted to Catholicism in 2019. What I'd read is that he'd been an atheist before that, even though he was born in a nominal Christian home. My prayer is that we're called to pray for our leaders. So I think we need to pray for him, for his wife, and we need to pray that God will speak into him. Abraham Lincoln didn't know the Lord when he became president, but because of the burdens of the Civil War, a pastor visited him in the White House and led him to Jesus Christ. So whoever it is, Donald Trump would be at the top of the ticket, J.D. Vance, we need to pray for them because the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, we are to pray for those in authority. It doesn't appear that he's an evangelical Christian. His wife, I understand, was born into a Hindu home.
Hindu background.
So we need to pray for them and we need to pray for our nation.
And you referenced Israel and our strong stand that America, and quite frankly, I think the previous Trump administration had a very strong pro-Israel position.
The strongest of any president ever.
And we know what this current administration
is. It's the worst because they're withholding weapons and ammunition during war. And they're telling Israel to lose the war. Our State Department is telling them, lose the war and leave the hostages behind. It's absolutely barbaric, including American hostages.
I never thought I'd see day. And that alone should be of huge interest.
This is coming from Michelle Bachmann, not Olive Tree. No one should vote for this administration because of what they've done and are doing to Israel.
We've got about 2 minutes left, Michelle, and I'm not quite sure what path to go down as we close the program. Let me quickly say again, folks, Michelle serves as the Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University, and she's headed up, I believe this may be the fourth year of 40 Days of Prayer and Fasting. But I'm going to give you a minute. You can take two if you want to sum things up. And I think the point of this hour is we are at a critical point in history. Not just politically, but I think even spiritually in this country. And I'm not suggesting that a Trump-Vance administration is going to be a spiritual beacon for believers who are listening to this program. Nonetheless, it's giving America a chance for more people to get saved and come into the kingdom. And that's what we are excited about.
Especially since October 7th and the attack on killing 1,200 innocent Jewish people. And all the ongoing attack against Israel and the rise of the global jihad.
Yeah.
We've seen the global jihad evidence here in the United States as well. And to see what the Biden administration has been doing in response to that, but in response to almost every other issue as well, to the point where we're coming so close, we're going to be raptured out of here soon because I can't believe it can't get much worse than what it is right now. But what we've seen is an absolute miracle from God. When God spared the life of Donald Trump, for whatever reason, that was God's choice. So we don't know what the outcome will be in November, but it shows us that our lives are in his hands. Yeah. History is his story. He knows when he'll bring about the culmination. We're seeing the leaves are coming out on the fig tree, but we have this moment, and I have great joy right now because I've been reminded, I've seen with my own eyes the miraculous hand of God. The power to save. He saves us spiritually, but he's given us a physical demonstration in how he saved the life of our president. And now we're looking forward and we may have a momentary reprieve.
Yeah.
And so if you knew that you had 4 months to live, how would you live your life? And I think that's what we all need to think about right now. Reordering our priorities. How are we living? How are we reacting to the events around us? Are we being bold enough to say something to our kids or to our neighbors or people that we work with? It isn't that we're offensive. It isn't that it's just about politics, because politics are going to go away. It's something that God may use. He may use the election of Donald Trump to give us a reprieve so that the church might grow and so that more believers can come into the kingdom. It may be or may not, but it doesn't matter. What does matter is our response. That's why we're doing the 40 days of prayer and fasting. I need to return to the Lord. I need to focus on His word, and I need to pray in according to His word for His will to prevail in the American election, but more importantly, in our lives, and to advance His kingdom in these very last of the last days.
Thank you, Michelle Bachman. You know, folks, it says in Isaiah 33:6 that God is the stability of our times. Is that not a comfort to you today? Because apart from Him, it will seem like everything is collapsing. But He has you here on assignment. You can share the good news of the gospel, and you can tell others that God's outline for the end of this age could wrap up today. Remember, nothing is out of control, because God is always in control. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Psalm 31 says, "Our times are in His hands. Nothing happens that God didn't know before time began. He will even cause good to come out of evil. He orchestrates every detail so that all things fall into place."